Hey, what's going on? Nick Unsworth here from lifeonfire.com, and I don't think it's possible to be any more fired up than I am right now because I'm about to bring to you the one and only, my personal favorite shark from ABC's hit show Shark Tank. I'm about to bring to you Daymond John. And Daymond John, who just came out with the book, The Power of Broke. And if you haven't read it yet, you have to get this book. It is so good and it resonates with me so much because I was $50,000 in debt. If you know my story, I went to an event that changed my life and I literally had protein mix in a sandwich bag. I was so broke I couldn't afford to even buy food there. And so I know what it's like to be broke and I know what it's like to take the power of being broke and to go off and to build a seven-figure business. This book is so good. Whether you're struggling or whether you're six or even a seven-figure business looking to go to the next level, you definitely want to check out everything that he has to say. So before I dive in, what I want to do is I want to kind of just set the context. So how this all came together is that I actually met Daymond John at an event called the Genius Network with my good friend Joe Polish. And Joe Polish puts on this amazing event. You invest $25,000 to be there, just to be in the room. And so I got there and I'm all about networking and I had the opportunity to meet Daymond. And when you meet someone like Daymond, what do you think the best thing is to do? I didn't go up and I didn't ask for anything. I didn't say, hey, can you do this? The first thing I thought to do was, how can I give to a man that has everything he could want? You know, as a, one of the sharks on, the hit show Shark Tank. But I did the best thing that I knew how to do was how to add value and give first. So I offered for us to do Facebook advertising consulting and to work with his team. So he was very happy that I wasn't asking for something and I was just giving first. Got me connected with his team. We were able to do some work with them and add some value. Fast forward, I was able to then, reach out, rekindle that relationship, and then Daymond came and spoke at our big event called Ignite Your Movement. That was in LA. And so what's so cool is we had Daymond rocking the stage at Ignite. And I gotta say, you have to just get to Ignite because we don't have the footage from the keynote, but we do have some behind the scenes footage we're about to share right now. And all I have to say is that Daymond's keynote was literally the most fantastic and like spectacular keynote I've literally ever witnessed in my life. And we put on events, I go to a ton of events, and I've gotta tell you that this was literally the best keynote I've ever seen. It had people were in stitches, cracking up laughing, and people were inspired because he shared what he wrote in that book, The Power of Broke, and he shared, and people had, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it, but he had the whole room on the edge of their seat because when you hear a man's journey like that and what's possible, you can't help but get inspired. You can't help but leave that and get into action. That's why people that left our event, people are making more money. We have people that have already left their jobs. And so it was so transformational. And so that's why you gotta get to the next Ignite. But here's the thing, he rocked that keynote and it was incredible. Then we ran around and did some selfies and some cool things. But what you're about to see is the behind the scenes. And so what was really cool is Daymond was very generous with his time. And we got to do photos with all of our clients. So one of our perks of being what we call a Firestarter Pro is we just do really cool things to over-deliver. None of our clients had a clue that we were gonna do this. They had no idea, but we surprised them. We had a separate, special VIP lunch. On the way to lunch, we had a sweet little line, professional photographer. Everyone got a photo with Daymond and everyone was able to, catch a photo. We had an amazing, beautiful reception and a lunch. And then we had Daymond, up at the front. It was just he and I. And we had a whole bunch of our clients, about 35 of our clients were in town for the event. And we just got to ask Daymond some questions. So what you're about to see is our Firestarter, clients just firing off questions to Daymond. And there's so much wisdom that came out of this. So I want you to grab a notebook, grab a pen, and get ready to learn because what you're about to hear is some awesome, amazing wisdom from the one and only Daymond John.
Hey, what's going on? Nick Unsworth here, and I'm a kick-ass business coach, and I'm on an absolute mission to help you find your purpose in life, to help you love what you do for work every single day, to help you be the rock star that you are meant to be, to make more money than you ever thought was possible, and to have more time freedom so you can actually enjoy the life that you're living. I'm here to help you set your life on fire.
So what I would love to ask first to kick things off is, when you think of Life on Fire,
how would you describe what a life on fire means? What would that mean for you? It's different for every person, and what is it for you? What lights you up?
When I think of the words life on fire, what does that mean to me?
Yeah, just like, you know, for other people, it has different definitions. I feel like each person kind of, they think of what their life on fire is for, you know, whether it's not settling or it's like putting love or family first. But just how would you think about it?
Life on fire to me, and I guess it goes back to my 2 to 5 words, is that every single day I find something fascinating, I learn something, and then I apply something that I've learned the previous day or year. And you continue to grow. And so you continue to search. I mean, I think that the days we stop learning is the day that life doesn't have any meaning after that.
That's good. All right, so cool. So raise your hand if you have a question. Jesse?
If you're gonna give advice to people on how to spend their money when they're trying to grow their business, like let's say they had $1,000 to spend, where would you recommend they spend it?
That's a good question. So, of course, you know, I have to stroke over the entire conversation because I can give you very specifics, but I would take a very small portion of it and I would test it in various different veins. And again, and I'm sure Nick can share with you, you know, the old copy game used to be that copywriting. You take out 5 ads for $30, you change 3 words in each one, and then you wait to see how many people respond. It's the same game today on Facebook or anything else, but I would take a very small amount of money first and do that. I also would try to find, besides spending hard capital, I would try to find how can that money serve me to create a strategic relationship with somebody else where I can borrow their customers and share minds with them as well. That we're not competing each other, we only make each other stronger. So strategic relationships are much more valuable than hard cash.
How do you communicate branding ROI to small businesses and entrepreneurs?
You have 2 levels of, branding. There's overall enhancement of the brand, and it's very hard to do ROI on that. That right there is, you know, when I got to that point in my speech, that we knew our customers really well, and you can't quantify some things that you put on your customers. And the other side is the traditional CPM, you know, how much is costing you per 1,000, per million people you're hitting. But I would say that I wouldn't go after normal CPM only. I would have to do both. And it's very hard to do the other one. The other one, only you know. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you're the only one who knows your customer. When I went out and told everybody in the world about FUBU, I got turned down by 27 banks. They didn't get it. But I knew what it was. And I think that goes right back to life on fire. That goes back to having that fire in your gut, and you know what you have. And you take these affordable steps, you know? And a true entrepreneur, they act, they learn, and then they repeat.
So one thing I wanted to ask is, so out of all the ups, downs, and challenges, what's one, maybe it's more uncommon or off the beaten path, or maybe it's not one of your books, but what comes up for you if you think of just one of the toughest challenges that you had to overcome, whether it's recent or just from way back, that stands out?
The two biggest challenges almost always are going to be time and health, because you can't make time, and you can't get it back. And health usually suffers if you don't have time. And if you don't have health, nothing else will ever matter. So those are the things that we often are challenged with, and we often neglect. And that's very, very important. Yes. You know, the only thing that we're selling in this world is time. That's the only thing we're selling. It doesn't matter, right? We're getting something to you faster. We're letting you buy something that helps you do something better, quicker. You know, that's what diet pills are for, because they lie to you that you're not supposed to go to the gym. Right, you sell some time, you take a pill, right? Or it's Uber, or it's whatever the case is. We only are selling time. Facebook is communicating with a various amount of people in a small amount of time. We're only selling time today.
So Damon, there's a lot of different metrics in business. What would you say are some of the most important metrics that a small business owner should focus on improving?
There's only 3 ways to run a business. That's it, 3 ways. Acquire new customers, upsell existing customers, or have customers buy more frequently. There is no other way of operating business. Those are the metrics. And I don't care what you say, anybody can argue with me, but there is no other way. Those are the 3 metrics.
Bang.
And I get that from Jay Abraham.
Jay Abraham.
Who's my mentor.
And so I want to ask a question about one thing that I was saying in the green room was that your team, you know, to get to the revenue numbers and the business, the amount of businesses that you've built, it, you know, you have to have an excellent team. And so what advice would you give when it comes to outsourcing or, you know, hiring and to develop a team that can help you get to that level?
So you have to be very careful about that, because first of all, you should have knowledge in every aspect of the business, because if not, then you could be potentially held hostage to the business by somebody, or somebody can lie to you. You know, salespeople, when you get salespeople that work for you, the number one person they're selling is you to keep their job. All right. So first of all, when you outsource, of course, if it's something that you need to have a very specific form of knowledge, you can't learn to be a lawyer. I get it. You can't learn to be, at home. You know, you can't learn to be a public accountant. You can't learn to be any of those things, right? But you can learn to operate your social media and not hear somebody tell you that a website is $40,000 and that, you know, to get out to a good amount of people, you have to take an ad out in the newspaper. You have to know all these things. So to answer the question, I usually try to surround myself with strategic partners first to see how we can leverage our relationship. Is there something I can do for them and they do for me? And then you do have to get the only thing that I believe you really have to get in order, you have to hire is good attorneys and, and tax and book people. Other than that, everything else you can kind of barter, trade, or learn from. That's the OPM theory of other people's money, manufacturing, marketing, and manpower.
All right, awesome. And so for next question, let's go Catherine.
I really resonated with the part in your story about your mother putting that ad in the newspaper and need financing, so
yeah.
I'm kind of at that point right now.
Yeah.
So at what point did your mother, or do you know that maybe it's time to start looking for investors? I mean, is it when you are already out of money, or is it when you can project that you're approaching the next level and you really need some backup funding?
Very good question. So it is approaching the next level, but you have to, or you should, go as far as you can without other people's money. You should first of all dig in your couch for change at first, you know. Then, or reality, stop going out to dinner two times a month and sell a couple of TVs around the house. Then you put it on your credit cards if you have to, that's a higher interest rate. Try to find out if you have orders or things like that, try to find out if there's bank financing, because if you gotta pay 6% on something, you'd rather do that than paying 20% or giving somebody a piece of your company. Then you get up to friends and family, because you'll find out who's your friends then, right? Then you still try strategic relationships. When I got up to $50,000 in T-shirts, I went over to the screen printer and I said, "How much are you gonna charge me to run these T-shirts off?" He said, $6. I said, "Okay. Well, what if I give you the order directly from the store, and you make the goods and sell them right to the store, and the store gives you the check, and you charge me $7.50. He said, "Okay, I'll do that." And so it satisfied everybody for these reasons. Number one, the store then realized that if they place an order, it was a well-known screen printer, they know they would get the delivery. The screen printer knew that if he ran off the goods, the store was a good store and they would pay. And me, I didn't have to give up any percentage of my company. And I got to grow the company at that point.
All right, awesome. So in the back, we've got Lisa.
I want to know, all the things that we're learning this weekend, I think it's kind of mind-boggling to know where to start first. You know, today we've heard you need to have the right photos, and you've got to have the right social media platform, and you've got to have the right branding. And it's like, where do you start from there? Because if we start with all three of these things and we're overwhelming ourselves with more systems, how do we know what goes first?
So, who can you hit now immediately? Listen, when we grew up, I had 6 friends. Now people have 500 on Facebook, right? How can you hit that direct, close, niche group with the things that are easiest for you to accomplish? You understand? I mean, as a woman and mothers, I always say mothers are the ultimate startup. You look at a business, it's like having a baby. Right? I can give you any blueprint I want if you have a child right now, and it'll never match up to what you're going to experience. But mothers, by nature, figure it out, right? you just figure it out. You take natural steps. If your daughter has a, you know, or son has an ear infection 3 times a month and you're at the emergency room, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, 3 times a month, you don't just give the baby up for adoption, right? I'm Kevin O'Leary would, right? But you figure it out, right? And it's very, it's, I know you're learning a lot, but it will compound. You see, do the things that are easiest to you. The things that are hardest leave for the end, but you'll start to learn as you grow with it. And it's very hard for me to give you the specific which one to do, and I'm sure that they can get granular on it.
Awesome, great question. So real quick, how about like a morning routine? Or so to operate at your level, just anything mindset related or things that you do in the morning, whether it's morning rituals or routines, to just stay in the top of your game.
Yes, so I wake up every morning and I read my goals. My goals are comprised of 9 separate goals. 6 of them expire in 30 days. 2 of them expire in 5 years, and 1 expires in 20. My goals, the 6 goals that I read, vary from health to family to business. I read those 5 days a week when I wake up, when I go to sleep, because I want them to be the last thing I think about when I go to sleep and the first thing I think about when I wake up.
That is awesome. All right, so how about for you, Charles?
Oh, for PJ.
We call PJ the love guru.
I just have a question about strategic partnerships. Could you talk about, for people who have never done a strategic partnership before, what are a couple of key points that we should really look at and how we can make the best benefit for both parties?
A strategic relationship is to, like, that screen printer was a strategic relationship example. You know, when we got to a certain level and we wanted to expand globally, we, you know, we made a deal with certain distributors in each country that the deal was they had to open up 5 freestanding stores within 3 years. We would allow them to make 50% of the goods if we authorized the designs, because the kids in Japan are not going to dress like the kids in America. So that was a strategic relationship. A strategic relationship is a license. If you have an idea, a concept, or a business you want to license, we always operated the men's product. We made great men's product. But we license out boots, bags, ladies, boys, girls, fragrance, because every industry is very specialized. And just because I can make men's clothes doesn't mean I can make women's clothes. And women salespeople deal with different buyers at the store. Right? They deal with different cuts, different manufacturers, different fabrics, different time in the year. So we would do a license, and the license can range anything from you're going to give us 2% of everything you sell. That's if you're selling to Walmart, because your margin is there, is not as big. Or you're going to give us 15% if you sell to higher-end stores. So those are strategic relationships. But you can have them with local, you know, if you have a retailer, if you're a retailer and you're selling cupcakes, argument's sake, right? Well, then you deal with strategic relationship with the butcher in town, because if you buy X amount of meat, you can get a discount on cupcakes. You buy a discount of, you buy X amount of cupcakes, you can get a discount on meat. So those are the type of strategic relationships I'm talking about. I really don't know what business you have, so it's hard for me to give you that specific example.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right, perfect. So how about for you, Raman?
So what about placement and market placement? So how do you decide whether you want to be the premium product or you want to be the mid-range, I guess, not good, or the bottom? So how do you just make that decision?
So there's a couple of different silos of areas to sell. Super high luxury, Louis Vuitton world. Luxury, which is right underneath that, Bloomingdale's, mid-tier, Macy's, a little bit below mid-tier, which is Kohl's, JCPenney's, and then Mass, Walmart, Kmart, BJ's. In each one of those categories, you have 3 levels. The higher end of that category, the lower end of that category. You never, ever want to be in the middle of one of those categories. I'll tell you why. Because if you're in the middle of that category, once people have established that your price is this, you can never trickle up and go higher in price. Once you're in the middle of that category, if somebody can do exactly what you do a little bit cheaper, there's no reason to buy you. And they can go down. So in regards to pricing and positioning, you could then, again, test markets and say, you know, put out ads for your stuff to be at $99, $129, $189, and then see how many bite. But again, you also need to know what is your margin you're trying to go after. You should try to work on a 50, 60% margin, because anything underneath that could hurt you, unless you're doing mass stuff where you're selling, you know, hundreds of millions.
Okay, cool. And then, so how about for you, Daniel?
What changes do you see in social media over the next 5 years, 10 years?
I mean, it's moving so fast, it's very hard to see over the next 10 years. I mean, think about, you know, Facebook just came around, what, in 06, right? I see the death of retail. I see that purely conversion is going to be on social media. But I don't know how much more advanced it's going to be, because it's going to be, I can't even imagine what's happening in 10 years from now. I mean, we are really a visual world, and it's getting easier and easier to sell, as you're here and you understand. But retail is absolutely dead. Mm-hmm. I can't give you social media, but definitely retail is dead. So, and, you know, traditional.
Meaning we're not going to go to stores physically. What's going to be the utility of these stores, though, or locations now?
Nothing. They're going to be places where you can get services done, where you physically have to go and, you know, get a massage or get something else. You most likely, you'll still be able to get that done at home as well, but you don't want the creepy guy with hair all over him coming up to your house.
Okay, cool. So we're going to take one more question. We got Ryan, and then I want to just wrap up with a book.
You're involved in so many different things, and I was wondering how you're able to keep your energy level up.
So I keep a great team around me, and I have to prioritize the things. You know, I have to look at things that are high priority. I'm very, very excited about it, and it has a great return on, you know, return on time, or return on passion, or return on income. And then the other ones, I really put a great team on it who they are passionate about. But, you know, that's, again, as I said earlier, time is the biggest thing I struggle with. Even at my company this year, the priority is to cut 40% of the initiatives, because we're spreading ourselves too thin. And you always have to, you know, look into, you know, what you're doing and how you're doing it and perfect it. So again, I wrestle with that as well.
Awesome. And then, so Damon, with your new book coming out, what would you say, what was the inspiration to write it? And just tell us a little bit about the book.
So it's The Power of Broke, and that's what the book is about. And it's about the fact that you don't need the old sayings of you need money to make money, you need to know people. You don't need that. That's just an excuse. Now, if you look at me, I came from Hollis, Queens. I got left back in seventh grade. I can't draw. I'm dyslexic. Some people say, well, I'm an African American. I'm short. I didn't have money. Well, it didn't stop me, and that's why I'm here today. And if you look at, as I always say, the Forbes 1000, the Inc. 1000, 65% of them are self-made men and women. They came from nothing. So that means if you need money to make money, they would have never gotten that list, and the other people would still be on that list. And if you have the power broken, you tap into it, it does several things for you. So if you're broke, and you have to start thinking about ways to accomplish your goal outside the box. You start coming up with ways to leverage. You start focusing and getting laser focused on one thing, because you don't have enough money to do 10 things. And when you laser focus on that one thing, you get better and better and better at that one thing. Also, the people around you. Real character starts to become revealed when you don't have money. The people who aren't your friends, the people that leave, the people that work with you for free, the people that got your back, you only see that when you're broke. And I'm not glamorizing being broke, because I understand that we need to have the things in life to get the proper medical for our families, and we want to get home safe. We don't want to be on the train. We'd rather a car, right? But if you're going to be there and you don't have it, then you have to tap into it. And the place that I've seen this exercise being more used more is by people with wealth. People with wealth remain wealthy because they exercise the power of broke. You can see that example in athletes, 3 years outside the league, 65% of them are bankrupt because they don't know how to exercise the power of broke, because they went up, they learned that they were they had to be the best athlete and the best physical specimen from 10 years old up to 25, right? They start getting checks, $10 million and $50 million. They don't have financial intelligence, and they never struggled in the business itself. Don't get me wrong, they busted their butt to become the best at what they do. But they never got financial intelligence because they didn't have to skimp and scrape over things like we do when we exercise the power of broke. Same with lotto winners. Whoever the Powerball people are right now, most likely they're going to be bankrupt 3 years after they accept the money. And that's what stats have proven. So you have to exercise the power of broke. In the book I wrote, I basically, I talked about myself, but I also interviewed people from all walks of life who are massively successful, and they all started with nothing. So Kevin Plank, the owner of Under Armour, he's doing $4 billion a year. Nobody ever said you could, everybody said you couldn't take on Nike, Reebok, and Adidas. He didn't have enough money to pay tolls when he would go home, so he had them write him a ticket for $3 because he didn't have $3. Or Mark Burnett, right? Producer of Shark Tank, one of the most recognized producers in the world. He was like a Green Beret or something like that in the British Special Forces. Came over here with nothing. You know what his job was, his first job? He was a nanny. And then he started selling T-shirts on Venice Beach. Now he's a very, very wealthy man. Or look at, let's say, Steve Aoki. Everybody knows Steve Aoki's family is, what was that thing? What's that? Benihana. Came from money. But when he went to the streets of Manhattan to say, I want to be a DJ, actually having money hurt him. Those kids were like, get out of here, little rich boy, go home. He wasn't accepted. Then when he went to his father and said, help fund me to be a DJ, his father said, if you don't get your butt into working in Benihana in the family business, I'm cutting you off. So his father cut him off. Now he had nothing. Once he had nothing, he became hungry. And he used to just do rent parties for $100. He would fly all the way from New York to California, California, New York, to do one show to spin for 30 minutes for $100. Because he was starving, he had this hunger and this desire, you know, to that fire that you're talking about every day. So that's what the book is about, and it gives you clear steps to exercise the power of broke in certain ways and keep that mentality.
That's awesome. Let's give Damon a big hand.
Thank you,
brother. All right, you guys enjoy your lunch. We'll catch you in a bit.
All right, so how cool was that? It was so much fun being able to just fire off questions to Damon and have that dialogue. The cool thing is once we did that, then I had some time with Damon, with just my wife Megan and I, and Damon again, and it was so great. I mean, what we accomplished in that part, you know, the behind the scenes part is, you know, again, Damon was just super generous and with his time, and really hooked us up with, you know, some great advice and help for the Life on Fire apparel, things like that. So that was just awesome. So Damon, thank you for that. But before I wrap up, what I want you to do is I want you to go to the link below this video, and I want you to grab the book, The Power of Broke, because if you haven't read this book, I would literally take this and put it on the top of your reading list, because if you're an entrepreneur or you want to become an entrepreneur, this is a must have in your library. So I want you to grab the book, The Power of Broke. And I'm also going to throw this in there, that I love this book so much that if you just email support@lifeonfire with your receipt from Amazon and or wherever you get the book, just forward us the receipt. We're going to give you our book, the book on Facebook marketing, and we're just going to hook you up with that just as a little gift. So our little gift to you. So again, grab the book, The Power of Broke. Head to lifeonfire.com, and we have an awesome dialogue going around, kicking around about the book, and just take your business and life to the next level. You know, you only have one shot at life. Why not just go all out, no regrets, roll up the sleeves, and just go big. It's okay to dream again. I want you to dream again. So grab the book and catch up with us on lifeonfire.com, and you have an amazing rest of your day.
I'm here to help you set your life on fire.